Well, the storyline is something straight out of a Cold War era thriller, but the death of Pakistani journalist Salim Shahzad is all too real and in many ways terribly horrific. Obama administration officials now believe that Pakistan's ISI, that's the main spy agency in Pakistan, actually ordered the killing of this journalist, Salim Shahzad. Shahzad wrote a series of articles that criticized both the government and the military and claimed that there were strong ties between the military and al-Qaeda, among other militant groups. Joining us now, Eric Schmidt, who helped write the exclusive article for our partner, the New York Times. He's a senior writer and national security correspondent there. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
First, explain who Salim Shahzad was and how he died.
Salim Shahzad was a 40-year-old journalist based in Islamabad, and he wrote for a publication, a website called Asia Times Online. An interesting guy because he was a very courageous journalist who wrote a lot about the militancy in Pakistan. He wrote about the military in Pakistan, and most sensitive of all, he wrote about the intersection of these two and how apparently the militancy, the Islamic militancy in Pakistan, it infiltrated parts of the military, and this struck very much of a raw nerve among senior military officials and intelligence officials, and it eventually apparently now put him on the path toward what happened to him just at the end of May.
We're speaking with Eric Schmidt of the New York Times. Eric, what exactly, I mean, he talked a lot about negotiations that the ISI may have been having with al-Qaeda. That certainly angered them. What specifically was he saying that made the ISI so angry with him?
So what he wrote, what Mr. Shahzad wrote, were a series of articles over the years that talked about this relationship between the militants and the military, and in particular, he looked at a specific article that said al-Qaeda was responsible for a 16-hour commando attack on Pakistan's main naval base in Karachi, a major city in the southern part of Pakistan, on May 22nd. He wrote this attack was a reprisal for the Pakistani Navy arresting up to 10 naval personnel who had belonged to a Qaeda cell, Shahzad had reported. He detailed how this was particularly embarrassing because the military tried to negotiate with al-Qaeda to get these Navy personnel back, and this apparently failed. And so he laid all this out, and when it did fail, the militants struck this base and destroyed two key surveillance aircraft the United States had provided. And in his article in Asia Times Online, he described how the attackers were apparently guided by maps and logistical information that were provided by Pakistani military inside this base.
Wow.
So it got to the very heart of this question of here you have the Pakistani military, of course, in a very somewhat contentious relationship with the United States over its commitment to fighting terrorists. And now here an investigative journalist is reporting that al-Qaeda has sympathizers within the military ranks itself.
Eric Schmidt, do you get the sense, you know, as a journalist yourself, that this is something that Salim Shahzad stumbled onto, or does he have a source profile that goes deep within the military and deep within the militant structure inside Pakistan and Afghanistan, for that matter?
No, Mr. Shahzad had cultivated many contacts, both within the military and within its intelligence agency, but also within members of militant groups. So this was not just a one-off or somebody had tipped him off. This was the result of years of very hard and dedicated reporting. Now, that said, Shahzad was not, you know, a perfect journalist. Some of his stories had been criticized for being, threaded with embellishments and other things. And he had written recently that General David Petraeus, for instance, had briefed the leaders of the Pakistani military in advance of the U.S. secret U.S. raid that eventually killed bin Laden, which
The White House denies that categorically.
And I don't think there's any truth to that. So it's not like this guy was perfect every time out, but he did have extraordinary contacts within both the military itself and the militancy, and he used them quite effectively in his journalism, in his reporting.
Eric Schmidt's exclusive article about this appears in the Times today. Eric Schmidt is a senior writer and national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Eric, I want to play this comment from Pepe Escobar. He's a columnist for the Asia Times. Here he is speaking to our partner, the BBC.
look, we knew this would happen inevitably. And he had told us repeatedly, look, if anything happens to me, it's going to be ISI's work.
This is part of an interview, which in your piece you describe as a little bit, we're not quite sure what happened here. Salim Shahzad claims that he received veiled threats from the ISI, who told him he may be in, his life may be in danger by militants. He viewed that as a threat against his life from the ISI. The ISI claims they were simply telling him, in the effort to inform him, that his life was in danger. So we're not entirely sure if he ever was threatened by the ISI or not, right?
That's right. And to be sure, the ISI has both right immediately after his death at the end of May, and then in response to the reporting for our story, adamantly denied that they had anything to do with his death. And as you said, mainly were merely warning him again that he might be in danger of being attacked, perhaps from militants themselves. But he did speak to, he did leave a letter behind with some human rights groups in Pakistan, warning, basically saying, if anything happens to me, you know, open this letter and discuss what happened. And he talks about when he went to, after he wrote an article about the release of an interrogated Afghan Taliban commander, he was summoned into the talk to the ISI, and he received what he believed was a veiled threat against his life from one of the senior ISI people who deals with the Pakistani media.
But the difference
so,
here,
again,
and we only...
there's obviously still somewhat very many questions surrounding this whole story.
And one of the questions, Eric, is about the involvement of the White House. According to the White House, we have secret evidence that the White House finds convincing that the ISI is behind his death.
That's right. They believe they have what they call evidence that's both reliable and conclusive, that the ISI directed this murder, and now the administration, senior administration officials, are debating how to deal with this. I mean, all the other problems that the U.S. is dealing with Pakistan, here's one more thing they have to consider.
So they have to be careful in how they present this evidence and ask questions about it. Eric Schmidt, senior writer and national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. His piece appears in The Times today. Eric, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We do have this question from a listener on our website at thetakeaway.org. Isn't it possible CIA long-arm contractors could have killed the journalist to further humiliate Pakistan's ISI? All kinds of conspiracy theories out there. We want to return down to the story that Eric Schmidt helped write for our partner, The New York Times. Eric Schmidt is senior writer and national security correspondent for The Times. And it's a story of what happened to Salim Shahzad, a Pakistani journalist who was killed. And the White House now says they have evidence that his death was ordered by Pakistan's intelligence agency, the ISI. Eric, we're at the end of our conversation, we were talking about what exactly the White House is going to do with this evidence. And that's complicated at this point because the relationship between the two is so necessary and yet so shaky.
That's right, Celeste. I mean, here you've just had probably the worst relations right now that the two countries have sunk to in 40 years in the wake of the bin Laden raid on May 2nd, where Pakistan has kicked out American Special Forces trainers. They've clearly tried to distance themselves from the United States. They've asked the CIA to stop flying drone flights from a base in southwest Pakistan. You've got members of Congress now increasingly calling for ties and restrictions on U.S. military and non-military aid to Pakistan. So you just this is a relationship just fraught with tension, and then you add on this development here, and the White House is struggling to figure out, you know, how do they best deal with this in this context.
So what do you think? Do you think they're going to push it?
I think they'll push it. They're going to try and push it in private channels before our article published.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be out there, and obviously I'm sure this will just be more fuel for the critics in Congress and elsewhere that the U.S. has to take a tougher line, a tougher position with the government of Pakistan right now.
Eric Schmidt helped write the article about the death of Salim Shahzad for The New York Times today. He's a senior writer and national security correspondent there. Thanks so much, Eric.
You're welcome.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.